The Rwandan government wants justice for the victims, but it also wants to promote reconciliation. So it's created a program of community service. The program's designed to help confessed killers ease back into society. Listen to Jeb Sharp's third Rwanda story.
The program is called TIJ. It's an acronym for a French expression meaning community service. More and more, prisoners are finishing their sentences with a year or two in the program. They work on agricultural projects and in quarries. They also build houses and roads. Some commute from home. Others live in camps at the work site. At this TIJ camp outside Kigali, ex-prisoners are building houses for homeless genocide survivors. About 200 men work here. They're known as TIJistas. Some are clearing ground, others are breaking and hauling rocks, some are mixing mud for foundations. Leopold Burangaija coordinates the work at the camp. He says he's surprised how much the TIJistas seem to enjoy the labor.
Je pense qu'ils vont faire ce travail sans bonne volonté, mais pourtant ils le font avec la bonne foi.
I found them so willingly doing this work, and they're very, very proud doing this work because they know that after this they're going to go back to the community and then be reintegrated into the community.
The program is designed to prepare the TIJistas to re-enter society. It provides the structure of a work day, it teaches new skills, and then there's the indoctrination. TIJ official Teofila Nira Honora uses words like re-education and sensitization. She says the objective is to change the mentality of the TIJistas, what she calls their old ideology. Nira Honora puts forward the optimistic government line that these men will be able to reconcile with survivors. These men are absolved of their crimes, she says. They've accepted what they've done. And people in their communities accept them back, too. They know these men have confessed and served their sentences, and so they're not afraid of them. They can work together and live side by side again, she says. Jean-Baptiste Rudasingwa is one of the TIJistas, and he agrees to talk to me. He says he's guilty of participating in a killing. He says he didn't kill directly, but he was present when a Tutsi victim was murdered. He says he should have tried to save the victim. Instead, he stood by. Rudasingwa's excuse is a familiar one.
We were being scared. The government was scaring us to do that. We were being forced to do that. I was afraid, I was scared for my life because we are told if you don't do that, you have been fined or sometimes you can even be killed.
Rudasingwa says he's grateful to the current government for letting him finish his prison sentence by doing TIJ.
Because normally someone who killed the person has either to be killed or something heavier than that. So when I look at myself at this particular place here today and with the crime I committed, for sure I feel overwhelmed to the current government for what they're doing for me. And in fact, I'm happy to do this work here with TIJ because I know it's part of what I'm supposed to do.
Rudasingwa says his confession has helped his relationship with survivors of the genocide.
If you tell a victim how his or her beloved ones were killed and where the bones were thrown, and then they maybe go and dig out the bone and bury it in an official way, they feel better, and then sometimes for us we feel better because we feel released from the tension we have.
Rudasingwa presents an awfully rosy picture. Survivors of the genocide may beg to differ. Some of them complain bitterly that the TIJ program is too lenient. But Rudasingwa speaks with confidence. He's forthright and relaxed. His fellow TIJista, Marcel Dusabo Muremu, is not. He's tense. He looks troubled. But Dusabo Muremu has reason to be troubled. He killed a 7-year-old boy.
Okay. There was war. And then the leaders told us to go and kill Tutsis. We took other traditional weapons like machetes, we took clubs, we took other weapons, and then we went for the operation. We were 4 of us. We went and found some children hiding somewhere, 4 of them again. So each one picked a child. So I picked one and I killed one, and the other one killed one.
Did you know the child you killed?
Yes, this child was my neighbor.
And what was the name of the child?
Who are we?
To Damascene.
Damascene.
Damascene. It's very difficult to stand and hear your story. It's hard to imagine killing a child. And I wonder if there's anything else you can tell me to help me understand.
That's all what he can tell you.
Dusaba Maremo stares past me as he speaks. His answers seem rote, like excerpts from an official confession. It's hard to gauge his tone, though. The meeting is brief, and the language barrier is large. He says he knows what he did was wrong, but if he's remorseful, I can't sense it. Alexander Gatembe represents a group of genocide survivors. He's come here to check on the progress of the construction. And I ask him how he feels about the Tejistas. He says he talks to them every day. He says killers and survivors, Hutus and Tutsis, must reconcile. What better way to do that, he says, than have perpetrators build homes for survivors?
If there is no reconciliation, there is no people of Rwanda. We are going to die one after one. And there is no the future of our kids. So it's a must for us. It's a must.
But Gatembe acknowledges it's painful.
What can I say? It's a kind of a stone which you put on your head, and which is very weight.
Very heavy.
Heavy. So, as far as the days are going on, you begin to understand that there is no way. It is a unique way to pass through. So you have to reconsider it.
It's late in the day. The Tejistas put down their tools. They gather by the roadside for a daily ritual. The Tejistas write these work songs themselves. This one is about a bird, a beautiful bird. When you see this bird in your field, the song goes, don't chase it away, this nice beautiful bird, when it comes to your field. Don't chase it away. Don't try to kill it. It's coming to your field just to rest. It has not come to harm you. The Tejistas take off down the road towards their sleeping quarters. They're dirty and tired. Another day's work is complete, and they're one step closer to going home. For The World, I'm Jeb Sharp, Kigali, Rwanda.